me? Am I on?
Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity.
A piece of paper. I got a cough drop. Thank you. So step one is the problem. Step two is the solution. And it's a conclusion I draw based on my experience also.
Second step, if, and I'll find the best place for me is we agnostics. Second step. And what's an agnostic anyway? Without knowledge. Anybody else? Doubter. Anybody else? We agnostics. Not going to give you Webster's dictionary definition. You got your atheist who believes you can prove the non-existence of God. You have your believer who believes you can prove the existence of God. Then you got the guy like me somewhere in there that does not believe you can prove or disprove. Guy like me. Maybe believes there's a God, but acts as if there isn't. A guy like me believes that maybe there's a God, but he'll work for you, but he won't work for me. A guy like me that maybe acts that believes he's a God, but if you put my life right next to a person who don't believe, you can't tell the difference. If when drinking, they have a 20-question test for alcoholism. There's a 40-question test for alcoholism. In the big book, there's a 2-question test. If when drinking or if when using, I find I can't control the amount. Anybody in that number? If when I get started, I can't tell you when I'm going to stop. Okay. Or if when I honestly want to quit, I find I cannot quit on my own entirely. Anybody in that number? I'm not going to do this shit no more. I'm not doing this no more. Where are my pipe breakers at? You know, I followed the pipe breakers because I wasn't never breaking mine. I had a straight shooter now. You know, that's just, you know. If when I honestly want to, I can't quit entirely, then I am probably alcoholic or addict. If that be the case, you are probably suffering from an illness that only a spiritual experience will conquer. If that be the case, to be doomed, and so if you're an alcoholic of my variety, I like this next sentence, to be doomed to die an alcoholic death or to live life on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives. Why wouldn't those be easy alternatives? Doomed to die or live life. Seem like they should be easy, right? But it's, you hit the big on there, because it's not just to live life, it's to live life on a spiritual basis. And when are alternatives not easy alternatives? You hit it. When they look equally distasteful, right? They look equally distasteful, or they both look exactly the same. You're a kid, you got a cold. I'm going to date myself. It's not a lot of people can go with this reference, but it's all I got, so go with it. You can have cod liver oil or castor oil. What the hell? What kind of choice is that? You know. You can listen to Liberace or Lawrence Welk. What the hell? No. Not easy alternatives to face. And alternatives are not easy when they look equally distasteful or when they both look exactly the same. So, to live life on the spirit. So, if I'm a doom, if this be the case, you suffering from an illness that only a spiritual experience will conquer, why would I believe some shit like that? Do I believe that? Do I believe I suffer from an illness? First question. If I've been thorough enough about looking back in my past and I see that there's something different and something wrong with me. Now, I might not understand. The reason I like the doctor's opinion, it says as layman, it may not make a lot of sense, but it explained things for which I could not otherwise account. It's something physically different about me. It explained why when my old lady would say, how come you can't make brick come home with a dime out your paycheck? And I would raise up and get pissed off, and I'd be thinking to myself, how come I can't come home with a dime out of my paycheck? You know, it explained why. It explained why I always spent more than I intended to spend. It explained why I always stayed longer than I intended to stay. It explained why I always seemed like I was doing the wrong thing at exactly the wrong time, all the time. So now I believe, okay, it must be something wrong with me. And if I suffer from an illness, do I believe I suffer from an illness? Do I believe only a spiritual experience, a conqueror? Anybody believe that one? Why would I believe that? Because nothing else works. How do I know nothing else works? Because I tried everything else. I tried a financial experience. I tried a go-to-work experience. I tried a physical fitness experience. I tried a falling in love experience. I tried being the family guy experience. I tried the acupuncture experience. I tried to go to church experience. Different than the spiritual experience. I tried to go to church experience. I tried every other one, you know, and I tried them all. So when I read this book, I've never been a face value guy. I'm not that guy. I'm not knocking people who can, but I scrutinize it. I scrutinize it. I question it. If it can't withstand scrutiny, it's not worth the ink and the paper that it's written on anyway. It's not true because it's in the book. It's in the book because it's true. I hear people say, I'm an alcoholic because it says so. No, that's not why I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic because my body tells me that. My experience tells me that. This is true for me. Only a spiritual experience a conqueror. The only reason I believe that is because I tried every other. I tried every other experience. Okay, then why are these alternatives, why do they seem so hard? Why do they seem like, how come I need to have a door number 3? Spiritual experience, you know. Is there another door? Door number 3? And the reason why is I think I know what the spiritual experience is, and I don't. So the medicine you guys offer me for the illness that I suffer from, it looks like it don't taste good. Who taking medicine for taste anyway? Me. The medicine you prescribe for the illness I suffer from looks like it don't taste good. I'm a taste guy. And I have not even tried it. Not only does it look like it don't taste good, it looks like I can't take the medicine either. Doesn't look like it's medicine this guy can take. So in this chapter to the agnostics, we agnostics, it speaks to a guy like me. It speaks to why it makes more sense to believe than not to believe. It speaks to why it is that I can make use of some principles that I don't think that I can make use of. It speaks to me being able to access something that seems totally unavailable, and not only unavailable to me, it seems like it's something I don't even want. And it speaks to me. You know, this deal of ours. So in the second step, before I took the second step, I had to take the negative second step. I had come to believe and the hopelessness and futility of life as I had been living it. I had come to believe in something else before I came to believe in this. And this coming to believe in a power greater than myself is a cold thing, because the cold thing about it, I can't believe in a power greater than myself. I already do. I call it cocaine. It was my master. If you're anything like me, it got to a point where I knew. I had a little girl. So what? She need diapers. So what?
I got a wife at home. I'm supposed to go home. So what? I got a job. I'm supposed to. So what? Cocaine was my master. I had a power greater than me already. I needed a power greater than it. I needed a power greater than it. So I started on this journey, man. And I started on it not because I knew what was waiting on me with you guys. I knew what was waiting on me. I was tired of dancing with the gorilla. I already said, you know, me getting loaded is like having sex with a gorilla. You ain't through till the gorilla's through, you know, and that's a cold thing. And if the gorilla that you having sex with, if you getting down the way I'm getting down with the gorilla I was with, you know, it was like a gorilla on Viagra. You know, goddamn, but gorilla, it ain't even letting you smoke a cigarette. Goddamn, gorilla, stop. No. Okay, I give. I surrender, I give. You know, I need something bigger than you. You know, and so if the gorilla is steadily, every time you walk out that door right there, every time I walk out the door, Tarek is outside and he hit me in there, bam. God damn it. I'm going to go back out the door. I'm going to creep this time. He said, bam, hit me in the head again. Okay. I got it. I'm going to go out the door. I'm going to go out real fast. Bam, he hit me in the head again. Okay, Tarek done hit me in the head too many times. I'm going to get somebody in here that's bigger than okay, me and you. Okay, I'm going to get my big brother. I'm going to get my daddy to go outside with me now, and I'm going to get my daddy to go out. And when my daddy go outside with me, Tarek is nowhere to be seen. When I put my hand in my daddy's hand, Tarek, no, I need a power bigger than the gorilla. I need a power bigger than the fucking gorilla. I already knew I had a power greater than me, and I call it cocaine. I needed a power bigger than it. So I got willing. And on that foundation of will, okay, it's a simple question. Ralph, do you now believe or are you even willing to believe? A lot of people think that this deal, this coming to believe deal is about this, it's coming to believe. It's not coming to understand. It's not coming to acknowledge. It's not coming to comprehend. Coming to believe, and it's a process. This coming to believe process, why do I need this concept of a power? In the chapter, we agnostics, it's all talk about forming a conception of a power that works for Ralph. Why do I need a concept of a power anyway? Why do I need a concept of a power? My boy Chris back there, I don't need a concept of Chris. If we all look at Chris, we can say some things that we agree on. He's a distinguished looking gentleman. He's balding, you know, kind of stock. There are some things because we can see him. He's right in front of us. We can see him. All of us can see him. But this power that you guys want me to turn my will and my life over to. You ain't said that yet, but you want me to come to believe in this. But I can't see him. I can't feel him. I can't touch him. Nobody comes into the world themselves with a form conception of the power. Don't care who you are. If I got any idea of a power, it probably comes from my family, my community, my society, my schooling. If I've gone to a church, if I go worship somewhere, they probably impose some idea on me that I've adopted. So nobody has this will. That's why I need a concept. You know, I'm working with blank slate. Blank slate. So in that chapter it says, okay, Ralph, in order for you to get this deal, first you got to want it. First, you got to want it. Why would I want it? Because I come to believe that in the hopelessness and futility of life as I have been living it. I had come to believe I'm going to be walking the streets at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I had come to believe that it wasn't going to get no different for me. I had come to believe that tomorrow's going to look like yesterday, that looked just like today. I had come to believe that I wasn't going to be a father to my little girl no more. I had come to believe I wouldn't be welcome in my mama's house no more. And I was crushing. And there was a spark. Where desperation meets opportunity, there's a glimmer. A window of grace opens up. And desperation met opportunity on October the 11th of 1986. And I jumped through the window. The window's narrow. Every single one of us had one of those moments. Some of us have more than one of those moments when the window opens up and we jump through the window. You'll hear people share that we are the chosen few. To me, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. We are the chosen few. So you telling me that the people that are still getting loaded, God chooses not to have them? So no, we are the few who chose. I've heard people say when God wants you to get something, no. When alcohol and drugs are through with you, that's their job.
When cocaine is through with you is when we want you. So I would drug myself in here in that condition, wide open, in that condition. Lay aside prejudice and express a willingness. Lay aside prejudice. Put aside everything you already think you know. They say a set-aside prayer. There are many variations of that prayer. And a lot of times, the problem with just saying it, a lot of times, is I end up just saying it. One of the problems with readings that are read all the time, I get numb to them, and I don't really, absorb them. I don't really hear what it is that they're saying anymore. When I'm new, I hear them, and they speak to me. Sometimes they speak to me, and sometimes I say that last time, but it really means, particularly when it comes to this second step, put all that other stuff to the side. You know the people who had the hardest time getting this program? Ministers, priests, nuns. People who pray as a profession. I know God. How you gonna tell me anything about God? If that's the solution, I already got it, and I'm still getting loaded. I'm in trouble. Because what we're talking about really is not about knowledge of this power that we're trying to access in this second step. We're talking about relationship. We're talking about relationship with this power. And so I'm talking about forming a relationship on easily understandable terms. And so when I start looking at it, first thing I ask myself, do I now believe or am I even willing to believe? What would make me willing to believe? Anybody? Think about it. Huh? Well whooped ass. Well whooped ass. Make me willing to believe. That ass is so tore up. I don't know that this is going to work, but I ain't got nothing else. I don't know what's in front of me, but I know what's behind me. And so now, I'm well whooped ass. Makes me willing to believe. And I come into a situation and I come into a gathering like this. This is why meetings are so important, particularly when you want to talk about your second step experience. Meetings are so important. One of the things we get from meetings, we get a sense of community. We build community. I had community when I was in the life, and I had a community of misfit. I had a community of smokers, you know, and I had built that same muscle memory that we now try to build in the meetings. I knew my seat was there. I knew what I was hitting all the time, and I had to reverse that. So I immersed myself in this program when I came in. And one of the things that starts happening when you start going around here is you start seeing people. You start seeing people in meetings just like our meetings. Now, how many people in here believe, you know, because what this program is really about is about accessing power, right? It's about accessing power. And that's what the second step is about. The first step is about lack of power. Lack of power is my problem. So what's my solution? I need some power. That's what this program is really about. This book is really about. Its main object is to introduce you to a power that will solve your problem. Which problem? Name one. So I need access to a source of power. I need power. Right? How many people believe the electricity is on in this room right now? Why? Why do you believe the electricity is on? Because the lights are on. And how do you know the lights are on? Because you can see them, right? But you can't see the electricity, right? If we got any electricians in here, they'll tell you, you can't see the electricity. You can see the lights, but you can't see the electricity, right? You can see the results of the electricity. You can see the lights. How many people in here have been sober more than a year? Keep your hands up high. The people that haven't been sober for a year? No, how many people have been sober more than a year? That's what I meant. Okay. Those of you whose hands are not up, the lights. The lights. I can't see the power. I can see the results of the power. The lights. So I come in here willing to believe. I'm not stupid.
I'm not stupid. I'm a smart guy. I'm a logical guy. I like to think I know a lot of stuff, right? And I talk a lot about religion, and religion is an opiate of the people. I was raised in church. I'm not trying to hear this God idea. You know, forget the God idea. You know, religion's an opiate of the people. I'd rather smoke mine. Thank you very much. When I turn 16 years old, you won't have to worry about Ralph White darkening the doors or nobody else's church. And then I start coming in here, and it starts talking about, be quick to see where religious people are right. They are exhibiting a degree of stability, usefulness, and happiness that you should have been looking for yourself. LO63992. Some of you are too young to remember when phone numbers had a letter prefix. LO63992. That's my grandmother and grandfather's phone number. They had it for 50-something years. They had it the whole time they were alive while I was alive. One phone number, one address. One phone number, one address. And their mantra was, God will make a way. My granddaddy was a blue-collar guy, didn't make a lot of money. I'm the slick guy. I'm the guy that was working in management. I'm the guy that made a lot of money. I'm the guy that talked shit about them for being in church every Sunday. And I didn't have, I don't know how many phone numbers. I don't know how many addresses. And it dawned on me one day, granddaddy never asked me for bail money. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Exhibiting a degree of stability, usefulness, and happiness. I got a mom, 87 years old, been in church a whole life, 6 sons smoking. 6 sons smoking. Did not move. Did not budge. Church every Sunday. Come home one Sunday. Youngster had me serving on the block, right? I'm grown. He's a kid. Dope man. Put something in my hand. When I say I'm serving, I'm not big time. I'm serving as far as his eyesight. And he put something in my hand, and I'm serving on the block. And a car drove up this Sunday morning. And I ran up to the car, what you need? And the window rolled down. And it's my mother looking out the passenger window in her church clothes and her hat with 3 of her church lady friends in the car. Looking out the window at her dope fiend smoked out son, 32 years old. And all I could do was turn away from her and break. And when I made it back to you, when I made it back to you guys, that lady, the church lady, still standing, opened up her house for us to come in. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Be quick to see where religious people are right. And I had my own experience. Open me up for a concept. You know how you start forming your concept of this power? Ask yourself questions. Ask yourself, what do spiritual terms mean to me? When something make you cringe in a meeting, ask yourself, what does that mean to me? What does worship mean to me? What do I mean by worship? What do I worship? I worship women. I worship money. I worship myself. I worship my thinking. That's just what the spiritual terms mean to you. And so the beginning way that I formed the conception of this power for me was by what it wasn't. By what it wasn't. I was raised with this idea of God. It's interesting to me. I'm the kind of guy that I question stuff. And I say to myself, just because I say it is, does that make it so? And in this arena of the God business, if God is ever small enough for me to understand, he won't be big enough for me to trust. I'm not interested in forming an understanding of the power. I'm interested in forming a relationship with the power. So I start asking myself, what do these things mean to me? What does God mean to me? Is he punishing?
I want a relationship, right? I want a relationship. Think about a relationship with anybody. If you want a relationship with a man or if you want a relationship with a woman, what is the first thing you do? Say hello, what else? You find out about them. You get to know them. You find out what they like. You find out if you have some things in common. Do I want to have a relationship with somebody that's punishing? Okay, then that God ain't punishing for me. I'll need to have a relationship. Do I want to have a relationship with somebody that's judgmental? Okay, he ain't that. I'm not trying to have a relationship with a God that's going to be doing that to me. Do I want to have a relationship? You know, in church they said, now I understand, but at the time I took it literal. They said that God is a jealous God. What the hell? Jealousy is not attractive in a person. Why would I want that in God, right? You know, I don't want that, you know. So I started with what God ain't. I started with that. And from that beginning, it was more than enough for me to begin to form this relationship with this power. And then I got to where the rubber meets the road. Tarek and I have been talking about this all weekend. And it's going to be a good place to lead into that next step we talk about too. Anybody understand that sentence when it said God is either everything or he's nothing? What was our choice to be? Somebody help me. Huh? Blotting out what? The intolerable consciousness of my situation. Going on to the bitter end. God is either everything or he is nothing. Crushed by a self-imposed crisis, he can neither invade or avoid or ignore. Everything or he's nothing. What was our choice to be? Why do you think it's phrased that way? What do you mean, what was our choice to be? How do I get to choose if God is everything or he's nothing? If God is God, it ain't my choice, is it? Help me. What does that mean? We got one person. The rest of y'all are saying, dude, that's what you up there for. Quit asking us that shit. Check this out. And I want you to put it on the shelf. Because it won't mean nothing to you till it means something to you. The God is everything or he is nothing. I've been doing this 30 years. That question for me didn't get clarified till it came true in my life. I want you to keep that one on the shelf. I'm going to share a couple of things. But that question, God is either everything or he is nothing. When you have to face that situation, you're going to know it when you see it. You'll know it when you see it. Right, Tara? You'll know it when you see it. You'll stand at a crossroads. You'll be now, the first crossroads I stand at is right now with the gorilla on me. God is everything or he is nothing. No half measures, no half stepping, no okay. I'm gonna keep on smoking, or I'm gonna choose to go with you AACA cult people. I'ma choose to go with this lame-ass meeting stuff that they making me go to. I'm going to choose voluntarily to turn myself over to something that I'm resisting with everything in me. Because check this out. I'm tired of dancing with the gorilla. God better be everything. He's everything or he's nothing. What's my choice to be? I choose God. I don't know God. I don't need to know God. I don't need to give him a name yet. I can call him the means. I can call him the group. I can call him good orderly direction. I can call him spirit of the universe. I can call him creative intelligence. I can call him God if I want to without knowing what that looks like. I can call him whatever it is. But I need to call him because I need to get this up off me. and I come from the negative part of the second step, and I come out of desperation, and I come out of, you know, I come out of two places. I come out of desperation, and I come out of hope. And the hope I get, the reason why we have to do this together, the first step is, you know, it's a conclusion I draw based on my experience, but I listen to you and you and you and you and you, and it snuffs out the last flicker of hope. I can do this by myself. I'm not stupid. So I sit in the meeting, and I'm scoffing. I'm really scoffing at this God idea. I'm really skeptical of this God idea. I'm a smoker. I don't know nothing about God coming on this side. And I don't believe God is going to do nothing for me. I don't believe that's the solution for me. It does not seem sufficient enough to get this up off me. We're going to sit here and sing spiritual tunes. We're going to sing hymns and hold hands. Nah, because I got these prejudices, right? Let go of that shit, Ralph. You don't know what the spiritual experience looks like. Okay. I'm going to let go of my old ideas. But it still seems insufficient to me. This horn has got a hole on your boy. But I sit up in here, and I'm not stupid. I'm not stupid. If you've ever been in a courtroom, and many of you have been on the wrong side of the bench, you know, what carries the day most of the time in court? Evidence, right? Evidence comes in a couple of forms. You have witness testimony, and you have documentary evidence. And when we go to our meetings, what we get is witness testimony. I get a guy over here saying, I was smoked out. I came in here, I came to believe in the power, and I ain't hit in 6 months. I came to believe in the power, and I haven't got loaded in 2 years. I came to believe in the power, and I ain't got loaded in 18 months. I came to believe in the power, and I ain't got loaded in 3 years. I came to believe in the power, and I just celebrated 15 years. I came to believe in it, and I'm not stupid. Yeah, my one voice crying out that there ain't a power. I'm looking at people flying, and I'm saying it's special effects. No, they're flying. They're soaring up in here. People are flying for real, and it ain't special effects. I feel like the ones who said, when the book uses that analogy, the Wright brothers can't fly while they're looking at the airplanes up in the sky. So I'm sitting in a meeting looking at people soaring, saying it's special effects. I'm not that guy. I want to soar too. I don't know that I can, but you give me the hope that I can. Witness testimony. That's why we do this together. That's why community is so important. That's why meetings are so important for that second step experience. Without the meetings and the second step experience, I wouldn't have the other piece I need to go with it. I got the hopelessness piece. I got the desperation piece. I got the I don't have nothing else working piece, but I don't have anything to show me. Why should you try this? You should try this because these people that smoke just like you, they got their kids. They're taking care of their daddy. They're married. They got a key to their own house. They got driver's license, registration, and insurance all at the same time. What? When you knew, you'd be like, wait, the trifecta? You know, I might have one at a time, but license, registration, and insurance? What? You know, and so now I go to meetings. I believe it. So now I'm well on this road, you know, and so now coming to believe. So what am I going to do now that I've decided, okay, thinking I'm going to try this thing on for size. I'm going to try it on for size. And the next piece to that is, okay, you done decided in the old days they would take a prospect and Dr. Bob and Bill, they work with him, talk with him, share their stories. Are you done for good and for true, you know, from now on? Do you think you're alcoholic? Yes, sir, I think I'm an alcoholic. I've looked at my experience. I've examined it in the light of yours. I really believe I suffer from this physical allergy. I really believe that I have that curious mental twist. I really believe that I have this spiritual. Yes, I think I'm an alcoholic. Okay, are you willing to believe in this power greater than yourself? I don't know if I believe now, but I'm willing to believe. Yes, sir, I'm willing to believe. I want what you gentlemen have. I've seen it. I want it. Sign me up. Okay, dude, you ready to sign up? we're going to take you here to this third step. And they would bring them to the meeting now. They would bring the prospect to the meeting. He would come to the meeting coming on the third step. And that third step is made a decision to turn my will, which is my thinking, and my life, which is my actions, over to the care of God as I understood him. And that's an interesting thing, that third step. We're probably going to go over to the next session with this. You know, being convinced that my life run on my will can hardly be a success. I'm not a guy, and Tarek and I have done a lot of talking about this. I'm not a hard guy. I've been doing this 30 years, and I'm 63 years old, you know, so I don't do a lot of fighting and wrestling, you know what I'm saying? I don't do a lot of that. I offer the simple kit of spiritual tools. You want it? Take it. When I sit in the dope house, I ain't fighting with you about whether you should take a hit. I'm taking a hit. If you want one, I'm passing it. If you don't, oh well. I'm not really tripping, right? And in the third step, I'm not really tripping. If your life run on with your will is successful, don't do the rest of the stuff. I ain't mad. But if your life is a train wreck waiting to happen like mine, if your life is a series of calamities, if your life is out of control, if your life, you want to put it back on a direction that's really going somewhere, we got a decision you can make to get under new management. And the reason, and the third step is really it's a great step. You know, if you think about it, under new management, you know, stop managing my own life, being convinced that my life run on my will can hardly be a success. You know, wow. You know who has the best in the world? Probably who has the best in the whole world. It's two categories: newborn babies, and well cared for pets. Dogs and babies. And now Tarek, I saw the way he is with cats, and I don't even like cats. But the well-tended, you know, if you think about that and you think about it, why wouldn't you want to be under new man? When you're a baby, you don't do shit. You just cry. Your parents, they bathe you. They feed you. They clothe you. You don't have to worry about nothing. They take care of you. They fuss over you. Oh, you know, they don't get mad at you. They don't judge you. They don't nothing. Under parental guidance and under parental same with a dog. A dog mess up in the floor. He don't get spanked. Oh, stop. Don't do that again. Some coffee and, you know, just take care. Tara talk about, oh, here's a hairball. Ate too much hair. You know, let this. Don't get mad. Don't take it personal. You know, I got to feed the animals before I go. Animals ain't doing shit all day. They don't do nothing. They don't work. They don't make money. They ain't expected to contribute to the household. They don't do nothing. They just get spoiled and they under somebody else's man. Who wouldn't want to be under management? Huh? Want to be grown? Why somebody want to hurry up and be under new management? Under new management. When you think about that, when you think about, I want to put myself under take my hand off the wheel. Because the decision making, you know, sometimes when you're a kid, you want to be grown so fast. Youth is wasted on the young. You can't tell them. Slow down, dude. Because when you're grown, you can't go backwards. When you're grown, you can't go back. And when you're grown, you got to be grown every day. Every day. Anybody else that scared? Anybody else get scared about being grown every day? Every now and then, it's a scary situation. You got responsibilities at the house. You got kids. You got wife. You got other stuff. Man, and I need a power. It scares me. I came to you guys, 33 years old, scared little boy playing and being a man. You know, and that idea, that notion of being under new management just changed the way you look at it, man. Change your perspective and the whole way you come approaching this 12-step process. Just change, you know, that change in attitude and change in perspective. Man, I welcome going to the third step. I welcome being under new management. I welcome relinquishing the idea that I'm responsible. And I am, and it's a thin line to walk because in the life, and then when you grow, you got to walk it. But the cool thing about this deal, we do, our deal. The more God there is, the more room there is for mistakes. The more God there is, the more Ralph there is. The less Ralph there is, the more God there is. The less, And that's the whole deal. That's what we're going to talk about the rest of the time. Because this whole 10-step program action to get to the solution, it can be summed up into grow God, shrink Ralph. You want to expand that spirit, you know, to enlarge and perfect my spiritual life through self-sacrifice and working with others. If I don't do that, I won't be able to survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. Enlarge and perfect, bigger and better my spiritual life. How do I bigger and better my spiritual life? Grow God, shrink Ralph. Whole deal. That's what the rest of the process is about. Whole deal. Whole deal. Put a lot of other stuff on it. Put a lot of frills around it. We'll do a lot of exercises about it. But that's what it is in a nutshell. When we distill it, grow God, shrink Ralph. That's what we do. And the rest of this process is designed, which ego-reducing process, as it's less of me, it's more of the power. Let's take a break.